Okay, today's daf is Mem Chet, and last year we started the Mishnah, and we mentioned the Rotzeach Shenitarev Ba'Acherim. We saw if a murder got mixed with other people, we didn't exactly know what that meant, and Gemara's going to discuss it now. Chachamim Torim and Rabbi Yehuda says it seemed to be Konsinot on the Kippah, sort of lock them up, and well, it sounds like the expression is basically lock them up and actually effectively kill them. The question is, what is going on in this case? So the first opinion is, this is not a Gemara. Rabbi Rotzeach Shnitarev Ba'Acherim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rotzeach Shnitarev B'Kshayrim Himatnita. We're talking about Rotzeach that got mixed up with other people that are Kshayrim that did not commit any murder. So the way the Bartanura explains this in the Mishnayos is this: we've got like an arrow was shot out from a number of people. Let's say two people. One was a big tzaddik and one was a rasha. And even if you know, I'll just read the Lashon of the Korban Eda. He says, "V'kashmanan shnaim we know for sure this person didn't commit a murder. Afilu hachi lo machayim he can't machay the other one meshum chazaka based on the chazaka." And it says, "Ubaha afilu Rebbe Yehuda moda." Rebbe Yehuda agrees in this case. It's important to understand that. V'ada amar Rebbe Yehuda konsinotka. What's the case where Rebbe Yehuda says, "Oh, you've got to lock them up and basically leave them all to die"? What's that referring to? You can't talk about the case where there was an innocent person with guilty people. That makes no sense whatsoever. So rather, lo ala al kai doesn't refer to ela chisur machasra. It's referring to a different case. The shor shenigmar dino v'nitarev b'shvorim acharim. We're talking about an ox that has been committed, like it killed someone. Beit Din has judged this animal has to be niskal, and then it got mixed up with other shorim. In that situation, they're all asur ba'ana, because you don't say bittul in this situation, and a shor niskal is asur ba'ana. So it's in that situation locks them out. Hilkach, chachamim, so clean oto mitzvah. So what the chachamim would say in this situation, shor niskal mixed with other oxen. They're all asur anyway. So what do chachamim say? Well, so clean otam. You've got a, you may as well, one is chayv skila, so just stone them all. There's no loss to the Baal, the owner of the so-called the ox that was a kosher, or the owners, if you like, or whatever, even the same owner of the other ox, he can't get any benefit from anyway. So may as well make the mitzvah of skila, and granted, we're doing skila to all these other oxen that aren't necessary, it doesn't matter because we're gonna end up doing it to the right one. However, Rabbi Yehuda Pali gets that case, he says there's no point. Basaba don't do skila on these three, four oxen. Why? Because shalom atriach Beit Din. What's the point in bothering Beit Din? Ella kontinotan, simply you just lock them all up and leave them to die. Okay, so how do we understand this? The beginning of the mission, according to this first reading, Rotzeach and Ba'acherim Kulam Ptorim, we're talking about a murderer that's mixed up with other people, even if the other person is the biggest tzaddik in the world. Kulam Ptorim, you can't rely on the chazaka. The second case of where it is the kontin kippah, about something else entirely. Shor niskal mixed with the other oxen, Chachamim say we may as well stone them all. Rebbe Yehuda says no point in bothering Beit Din. Just lock him up and leave him to die. That's first pshat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Malakish says, actually no. Barotzeach we're talking about multiple murderers. One person's case is completely tried and completed, and they've even passed judgment, so he's meant to be killed. He gets mixed up for somehow with these other murders whose trial has been run. They deliberated, but they haven't yet passed the final judgment. The judgment was passed. According to the, it seems to be that, I'll just show you here, according to the Korban, it says, Rabbanan Sari, we can't pass judgment against a person unless we know if that judge, unless the person's in front of us. The came and the ain makinot, since we don't know who the one's case is not finished, lo ave befanav, he'll kach therefore kulam turim. We have to, they're all patur. We can't kill them. However, the Rabbi Yehuda miftar legam, he says, nami lo, he says, you can't let them all go. They're murderers. We've already accepted the testimony of the other ones. We're a deliberator around the case. You can't let them go scot-free. Hilkach. Therefore, we find this extra legal way, like you'll see in the next Mishnah, of when we our hands are tied sometimes that we can't pass an actual formal capital punishment, that the Beit Din can take matters into their own hand in a different way to kill them. So Rabbi Yehuda says in that situation, well, we'll find this other way, which is basically the way it's described is they're locked up. And they're given very little amount of food to eat, so that their stomach shrinks, and they feed them bile and expands and kills them that way. Dov, what are you going to ask?
They're all identical.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not sure. Maybe they were triplets. I have no idea. It's very, I'm not sure, but somehow they were mixed up. I'm not exactly sure how, but somehow they were mixed up. I don't know. Identical makes sense in my head as well, somehow, because how else would they get mixed up? I'm not sure. Okay. But that's why, by the way, the first case is possible. That's why I think the Bata Nur explains the first case where it says a Ksherim and a murderer got mixed up together. That's where the way he explains it is they warned a group of people, don't shoot. Don't kill this person, otherwise be chayev. And one of the people in that group is a bigot tzaddik. We don't say, oh, clearly it can't be him. I can't rely on the chazaka. That's why the different case. That's why a different type of mix-up, if you like. The next case, however, Shmuel says, no, b'shor b'shvarim he might need to. We're talking about a mixture of shorim, meaning shor niska with other shorim, a bit like we explained. So according to Imbash, and just to show the Korbanator once again, shinta'av b'shvarim airi. And therefore, you can't nigmar din shelo b'fanav if you like, and therefore they're all p'turim mekorei chachamim. But the question is, if that's the case, why is it that the Gemara is going to ask now? Rabbanim, I missed a bit. Sorry. Im shvarim he might need to bedat tanin continental to the kippah. According to that, why would Rabbi Yehuda say lock all these shorim up? What's the point? You're not achieving skila. And yes, they're all asor bana. Why do you have to lock them up and leave them all to die? Why do, and the answer, by the way, there's no answer in the Gemara, but the Bavli says in that situation, Shema, we say, Shema yavo le de takala. Since there's an isor hana'a now on this entire mixture, we're scared that if you leave these animals to sort of roam, the person will end up getting hana'a and violating the isor hana'a associated with it. That's why he says, better lock them all up and leave them to die. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, The chumra is one and the other. Okay? Meaning, which is more chamor? That in terms of the getting the way we explained it, that if you kol chamim into the yadanu b'skala, you've got a if you've got multiple chayvim mitot mixed together, you give the lighter of the punishments that's common to all of them, and that's what we explained before. And Reb Shimon says chamor chenek meherek ve'rabanin amri chamor herek herek vechenek of herek and chenek. That's the debate there in terms of which is more chamor, like we explained. But importantly, everyone agree that Sreifa is more chamor than both Herig and Chenek. So it's like just the top two and the bottom two. That's what the Gemara is trying to stress here. That's what Mefarshim explained it. Okay, let's continue. Let's say someone's chayev 2 mitot beitin. Yadonu b'chamora. He is chayev the more strict, harsher of those two punishments. We'll explain how this works in a moment. Mitot. What if he does a particular Avera that is chayiv in 2 mitot? One a transaction, seeing the 2 isurim associated with it. We say he's gets a machamur, even in that case as well. However, Rabbi Yossi says, Yidonu b'zika rishona shabbat alav. Whichever isur, we'll explain it in a moment, came first regarding this item or relationship, right? Not the chamura. Because this relates to the question of what's called isur chalal isur. We say, Ein chil isur chalal isur. Ein isur chalal isur means if something's already asur, and for some other reason another isur is meant to land on it, well, its space is occupied, let's call it that. And we've discussed in the past that in certain situations, what about it's isur bavatacha, they come together, or isur kolel, isur mosif. We'll explain what those are soon when we get to the Gemara, because that's going to be the question that we're going to apply to Rabbi Yehuda very soon. Explain soon. It'll make sense. I think it's easier to explain through the example the Gemara is going to bring. So I'm not going to go into more detail now. Now, Mishalakav Hashanah, let's say someone got Malkus and got another, and is a repeat offender, gets Malkus again. And we say, Beitin Kosinon Ton Lekipah, this individual, the Beitin would take extra legal ways, let's call it. They'll lock him up. Once again, the same technique of feeding this Baal, his stomach swells and it kills him. Now, what type of person we're talking about? Isur Malkus? Got to be careful here. It's not talking about any Isur Malkus according to the Korbanator. We're talking about Isur Karet. Because Isur Karet, if you remember, if you're warned, you get Malkus for it. That's specifically those. So if someone is giving punishment to Karet, which is such a extreme form of Mishamay, and he repeats offending, showing he has no care for it, this is one of the situations it seems like Beit Din takes in, deals with. Let's put it that way. Similarly, haregin hashoshlo ba'edim. So, as if you remember, what if there's a murderer? The Beit Din know for sure this guy killed him. We'll explain exactly some of the cases in the Gemara soon. But for technicality, they can't kill him. Okay, this is another example that sometimes Beit Din can again. as we see, continue to keep on locking him up, giving him a small amount of foods, and then feed him a lot, this barley, and kill him that way. So not one of the formal mitzvot beitin. Okay, yes, we've got to be careful here. What's the conditions? It doesn't mean any provisions, though. Here we're talking about murder, or this is Isserei Karet. And why? Again, the Gemara will address it. Because sometimes we just throw up our hands and say, okay, we can't do anything. Shammai will take care of it. So why is beitin getting involved now? We'll get to that too. Marana says, Mishalav we saw in the Brayta Rabbi Yossi says, multiple surim regarding, say, one forbidden relationship. This is what we're going to be discussing. You don't get the harsher of the two. You get the one comes first. Ketzad. One's mother-in-law, but she was a he was his mother-in-law and she wasn't married at the time, the mother-in-law that is. Venasit Eshedish, and then his mother-in-law gets married. Okay, so she was a widow at the time he married the daughter, and then she remarried this mother-in-law. Okay, then so Ketzad Chamoto Nasit Venasit Eshedish. Chamoto is Sreifa, and Eshed Ish is Chenek. So therefore, well, which one came first? Also, which is Chamor? It's Sreifa. The punishment is Sreifa. What if it's the other way around? The mother-in-law is already married. That means Chenek is first associated with her. And then he marries the woman's daughter. Chamota. Then in that situation, you get Bechanika. Chanika is, well, still strangulation associated with the fact that she was a married woman. So that's because that one came first. Okay. Now, this is an interesting case. Baal chamoto, v'haydala chamoto v'kalato. What if his situation, he has a relationship with the chamoto, and she is the, and also because she's his mother-in-law and daughter-in-law at the same time, what will be the din? So, hey chavida. Now, there's a girsa change which you followed, but I'm going to share this sheet, because it's going to make it a lot simpler. Basically, what we're asking, according to Rabbi Yossi, in a nutshell, is, does he just say Eino Isul Chalal Isul no matter what, meaning whatever Shema comes first, or are there exceptional circumstances that maybe he agrees that Isul Chalal Isul? So let's go through them. So the Girsa change is Gavar Nasar Itate Barat Da'achua Vadi'ime. Okay, so what's that mean? A man marries his brother's, the daughter of his brother and the daughter of his mother. So what's the case? So we've got Reuben and Shimon here. I'm going to build it out very slowly. Shimon had a forbidden relationship with his own mother and bore this girl over here. Okay. What Reuven does now, Reuven ends up going in and marries that girl. So that's again, Reuven marries his brother's daughter, and which is also Shimon's mother's daughter. So in that situation, we have two Yisroelim that come bevat echad. How so? This girl, what Yisroelim we're talking about, we're referring to this woman here in orange, which is Shimon's mother. So let's start on the left. Since Reuven married Shimon's daughter, this woman in the orange now is Em Chamiv. It's his father-in-law's mother. Okay, because again, Reuven married Shimon's daughter. So it's Em Chamiv, it's his father-in-law's mother. But this girl as well is the it's the daughter of this woman in question, because of forbidden relationship between Rosh Shimon and the Chamoto and Shimon's mother. So therefore, Reuven's relationship to the woman in orange up the top is also his mother-in-law. So once again, this woman in question is his mother-in-law, and it's his father-in-law's mother. Yes, and these are two Yisroelim that chal bevat echad. That's number one. Then it says, "V'nasav barat de'achdei de'itatai." So what happened here? I'm going to break through it slowly. Shimon ended up having another daughter with this forbidden relationship with his mother. That daughter married somebody else and had a daughter. Okay, so now Shimon has this granddaughter over here, and then Reuven goes and marries that daughter as well. So what relationship will be added in here? We've now created this woman in orange to be Em Chamoto. But how can that isur be chal? Why are we introducing this case as well? Because since this woman over here, going up the left, the Em Chamiv, would also become asur when Reuven married this, let's call the granddaughter down the bottom over here. It's what's called the isur kolel. Isur kolel means To Reuven, not only did this woman become Asur, but another woman became Asur as well as a result of the relationship. So therefore, because we have an Isur Kolel, perhaps, meaning Isur Kolel because of this En Chamiv all the way of the granddaughter up here, maybe also what's going to be Chal now is the Em Chamoto Isur here. So currently we've got she's Asur because of Chamoto, Em Chamiv. But now, do we say also Em Chamoto would also be Asur? Okay, because of the Isur Kolel. Now, fair. Then it says, Vnafsav Savta Labere. So then Reuven had, let's just build it out. I'm trying to gray away the parts to make it less confusing. Reuven, our hero in the story, he had two sons. One of his sons goes and marries this woman of concern. Now, it's important now when he does that, it is. Reuven here, if you like, firstly, that woman now is Reuven's daughter-in-law as well. Now, how can the Isur, how can the color be Chal, the fact daughter-in-law? Because this is what's called an Isur Mosif. How's it an Isur Mosif? Because when Reuven ends up marrying this woman, she becomes Asur also to the brother over here. And Isur Mosif is, does this Isur make it Asur? Does this relationship now Asur to more people than me and the person in question? And that's what's Isur Mosif. So now, therefore, what have we done by having this very complicated relationship? We have addressed a few things. One, we've done Isur Babat Achad. That's when it was Chamoto and Nechamiv at the same time on page one. Page two, or page three, we had this Isur Kolel. That made it with Em Chamoto. And then we also had now the Isur Mosif when this lady, this hero in question here, became his daughter-in-law because it was Mosif also his other son to be Asur. Havat Echad, Isur Kolel, and Isur Mosif. Okay, so Ata Savta, now, Reuven has a relationship with this woman in orange at the top. This we call it the matriarch. Chayv, it's what is it? Is Chayv Mishum Chamoto, the Em Chamiv. Those are the two first Isurim. Em Chamoto, like I said, Vekaloto. Okay? Now, because Chamoto, Vekaloto, that was Bevat Achad. Because the first two, as we said, were Chamoto, Em Chamoto, Em Chamiv, sorry, were Bevat Achad. Okay, well, it says, sorry, start again. Well, that's not Bevat Achad, it's something else, but it's saying, do we say he's chayv on all of them? Sorry, again, start again. It was just last little bit. Chamotov, em chayv, em chayv, bakalato. Chamotov, bakalato, bevat achad. So the Gemara says, Chamur bakal, ma'am Rabbi Yossi. Chamur bakal, what's the din? And also, shnei yasrim kechat, ma'am Rabbi Yossi. So here we're trying to say, isul mosif, isul kolel, what's the din? And also, what is the does he also say, if you like, this in that situation, would he agree it's Isur Chalal Isur? Okay, and that's, if you like, final pictures, like kind of the map of this very complicated family. Okay, let's continue. If there's a question, I can get rid of the share screen now. I hope that was clear. Now it says, Amrin kam yishal al de Rebbe Yossi, kan yishal al de Rebbe Yishmael. Same question we have Rabbi Yossi, we have same question Rabbi Ishmael as well. Why? Now again, gears have changed, we'll go straight to the Korbanator for this. Zinta v'nitchalala. So that's the case of Znut. And in that situation, a zona is asur to a kohen. V'nitchalala, it should be mechalal. And then nitgarsha, it was divorced and then widowed. V'chakach ba'aleh and the Kohen Gadol had a relationship, but enu chayv b'chal achad. He says, no, it sounds like ain't isur chalal isur. Only chayv one isur. However, what happens if it's the other way around? Nit almana first. This woman became a widow. So she's asur to Kohen Gadol. Nitgarsha, now she becomes divorced. That's us making asur on more people. That's an isur kolel. No? So I'll read you the Korbanator. He says, first. Became divorced. Sorry, Isu Mosif, my mistake. I made a mistake. I get confused something. Isu Mosif and Isu Kolel. But the Almana Asura, it's Mosif on other people, right? The Almana Asura le Kohen Gadol, Umotar le Kohen Hedyot. Nitgarsha, which is divorced, now she's asked the other Kohenim as well. Does Rabbi Ishmael agree in a case of Isur Mosif, his chayev, or maybe he's cholek on that as well? Then also it says, Chamubrakal. Yeah, so, one second. So chamubakal. So this is again the girusa changes have moved around quite a bit. Chamubakal could go on. For example, nit almana mina irusin, and then she was inta. Then she did a znut. Now why is znut now more chamur? Because it says demi karlai ta asar lekohen gadol ala balav. Initially, when she was almana, it was isulav. Now that she had a relationship that was asur to someone else, lekohen gadol, that's an isu. That's asur lekohen gadol, but isu aseh. And we've said before that isur aseh is more chamur than a lav. I think we've said this previously because an aseh is dochelot aseh. In that situation, we say that that is isu halal isur in that situation because it's chamur on a kal. That's another variation we hadn't really seen before. We've seen bevat echad. We've seen Isu Kolel, Isu Mosif, and now we're seeing Chamur Bakal. Do we say Chal Nami Isu Zona Ulo? Or similarly, Shnei Esrim Keechad. What's that situation? For example, I'm still reading the Korban Eda. Isu Bat Echad, Kugon Isha Shnit Garsha. This is a woman who got divorced. Al Manachit of El Aploni, on condition she's going to have a relationship with so and so. Well, one second, that's a Chiyuv Lav. Nimtza gita v'znut ba'in kechad, because that's the get, she's a grusha, and znut, if you like the isur, then the znut is ba'in kechad. Is that a ba'achad? Oy nami, another explanation, ba'aleh halal. Or a halal relationship, she makes a zona and a halal at the same time. Ma'u mi modir bishmel b'isur bat echad, shechayv shtayim, in that situation, bat echad, or dilma maybe pligi nami b'ha. So we're effectively saying the same questions, Rabbi Ishmael as well. Even though the first Rabbi Ishmael says, look, if all these isurim together, is only chayv echad. That's because the order was back to front. But what if we change the order around? You can now fabricate it for like isur mosif, bat bat echad, or chamur al kal. What's he say there? Left as a question. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara says. So that Gemara was chamur bakal ma'amar Rabbi Yishmael, shnei asurim bevat echad ma'amar Rabbi Yishmael. Fine. Now, but the Gemara now says, Rav amar mibifnim eidav himatnita. So the question that the Gemara is dealing with here is how can you know someone's chayiv murder that you can be confident now to say Beitin, okay, Beitin, we lock him up and leave him to die, even though you can't execute him formally. How do you know with any confidence that you get to that level of confidence you could do such a thing? So one understanding is Amam bifnime davaya matnita. If you remember when it came to trying to catch out the person who's trying to fit people to Avodah Zarah, we said, oh, we can have the people hiding in the back rooms, they can see them. Okay? And then they witness and they catch him out that way. But that only works in that situation, in that case. Because anybody else, that's a bit proper, if you like, warning. The murderer has to know about the witnesses and see the witnesses. Like, it has to be in that formal way. There's a pre-warning. As we said, it's very, very difficult to kill someone. So in this situation, we've got witnesses in the back room and they see the whole thing happen. That's a pretty strong circumstance where, again, we can't kill this guy, but we know for sure he committed the murder. All right. For example, I'll just show you the Korban Eda. There's no Eidot. How would we know? They were there in the back room. When the murderer didn't see the Eidim. Except for the case of Mesid, like we said. Okay. Another one is Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, when they couldn't accept the warning. What's that? The Korban says, what if the person's mute? The murderer's mute. And he can't say, yes, I accept the warning and I'm going to kill this guy. Well, he can't speak. Because he wasn't able to do that. Even if he nodded his head and goes, yeah, I understand. Love klumu. He has to say b'fiv, as we said, in order to kill a person, a murderer, he has to say, "I'm a kabbal. I accept this. Yes, I know that under that I'm going to be killed." Okay. So in that situation, there's another situation we know quite clearly the guy's the murderer. Beit Din's hands are tied to give him the formal capital punishment, and we see that they're able to do this other way of dealing with it. Fine. Now I wanted to, there was something else I wanted to say here, by the way, that it was specifically murder. If it wasn't here. Yeah, it was specifically murder because we're talking about. I thought it was here. One second. I could have sworn it was here. Maybe it was somewhere else. It's specifically a case of murder because this person's a danger to society, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it was back here. It was a commentary on the Mishnah. It says, "V'davka reg nefesh yesh bo kumi hefsa lishuv olam." It's only a case of a murder that we do this type of thing. Let's say the person was Mechalel Shabbos, and you technically you couldn't kill him. We don't lock him up in that situation. Again, maybe multiple times, this or car, we're talking about that. I'm saying something but maybe it's a different situation. But I'm saying, but generally, it's only murder because this person's a danger to society, and that's why they have this. That's why it's an exceptional in that case. Okay, let's continue. Hakoneva takasva. Kasva, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what that is. The makalel, so makalel, someone curses bekesem, some sort of like magic or spiritual something, some other means. We'll see in a second. Or be'elat tamara has a relationship with a non-Jewess. Kanaim pogimbo. This now what the Mishnah talking about these extra legal circumstances, if you like, where someone is killed not in the formal way of beit din. So kanaim pogimbo means the bit like Pinchas, if you like, he gets up and takes law into his own hands and kills it. We'll discuss something Gemara soon. Kohen shishimesh betum. Whatever Kohen ends up in his tamin wants to do, does a vote in the base of Mikdash. The Kohanim that don't bother taking the Beit Din, the Pirchei Kohanah, the first, the young Kohanim, Pirchei is lashon of like their beard sprouting, so they're quite young. They'll take him out, motzina chutz la'arza, or platzimot mochobegizan, they get blocks of wood and clobber him. Okay? And Zar Shemesh b'Mikdash, if a non-Kohen does a vote in the Mes Mikdash, Rabbi Akiva says the punishment is Kenek and Beit Din, and Chachamim says it's actually that's the only one to be the B'dei Shemaim. We'll see all this in the Gemara. Let's continue. I come to Kasva. What's a Kasva? Kasva is Kista. Now that seems to be the way the it's some sort of kli, some type of measure, and the way the Pnei Moshe explains it's one of the kelim beis hamikdash, and that fits in with the next. Well, not fits in, but it's a problem is because the next dot is Rabbi Yehuda Omer kli mishal beis hamikdashia, kamad tamar the tamar vet ktsot hanasech, which seems to be the next explanation that he steals one of the clay based mikdash. That's when again this is the matters that are. We take it that we aren't take the bait in the formal sense. But the question is, according to, what's his first explanation? Kasva. So I'll read you here a very interesting case. The Shire Korban says we're dealing with Hagonevatam Midot Umeshaneotam Umagdilim Umaktinotam. This is someone who steals standard measures. Okay? Because the question was, if you're not talking about a clay based Hamidash, why are we so chamor with someone who steals an object and what particularly this object? So this sounds like someone who is manipulating things in such a way, stealing midot and manipulating in such a way, and which is stands to be a serious offense, therefore kanei pogimbo, because in Meramea to be because he's tricking a lot of people. He's socially it seems to be a broad impact of manipulating midot. And robbing lots of people. Okay? That's one way of explaining what this kasva is. Let's continue. Makela Bekesem, someone who curses with sort of witchcraft, if you like. Kugon, Elim Niftai de Mekalalin, had they curse, Laknayach, Kainach, Kanvach. So I'll just read the Korban Eda. He says, they cursed one of the Urim Yakecha Kosim Azeh, Velakonecha. That this such and such of kosem, this force should curse you and your konech is your creator, right? Shekanacha. Fine. Next, habolat aramit. So Tanu Rebbe Yishmael, Zeano said this is someone who marries a goya, umolid banim and has children, ma'amid oivim mimeno. Now those children and therefore raises people will be enemies of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what do you mean? Why is it enemy of Kadosh Baruch Hu? So the way the Korban Eda explains it here is because he ends up marrying, I'm serious, I think it was Korban Eda, but the way that he ends up, because he marries a non-Jewess, sorry, yes, then what's going to happen is, I'll just show you here. I should be here. Yeah, Zershu mefresh, other, So, v'amar sheyesh hefsed makom bechavod makom sheze ma'amid oyvim makom sheben hanolad mimeno olech achareya, because the son that's going to grow, be raised will end up following the mother, doing avodah zara, and that's going to create more enemies if you like Kadosh Baruch. That's the explanation. Okay, then it says k'tiv v'yar Pinchas ben Azar ben Aaron Kohen. This is the famous story. It's elaborated much more in the Bavli here. So the question is mara'a. What did Pinchas see that gave him the confidence, if you like, to go then or motivation to go? And then kill the Nasi Sheva Shimshon, Zimri. So Ra'at HaMaisa, he saw the Maisa there, by the way, the Bavli fills in, I'll show the Korban Eda, that Zimri Tafasik took Cosby. and brought it to Moshe. Is this woman asura mutar? So I didn't tell him if you say it's asura, one second, but Yitro, but you married him, he denied. Who allowed it to you? And then for Moshe Rabbeinu, he forgot the halacha, what to do in this situation. And Niskar Pinchas halacha. You remember the halacha? The Bola Armit Kanim Pogimbo. That when a Bola Armit, the Kanaim can come and take matters in their hand and deal with the situation. The Niskar Bola Armit Kanim Pogimbo. So Tanish. Now the question was, what's this din of Kanaim Pogimbo? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? So Tani, that's Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. It's actually not a good thing. Meaning Tani, Kanai Bongim Bo Vel Armit, Afal Pishe in a Chai Mit, despite the fact we can't kill that Kanai who does this, Al Mi Aret Sichas, Umi Koma Koma, Hu Ose Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. Chachamim don't want Kanim to go around killing people. So it's not a good thing. Kanai Bongim Bo, when the Mishnah says it's not a instruction necessarily to do so, it's just if they're caught in Pogimbo, then the Beit Din doesn't kill this person. But with the Chachamim, don't want these activities happen. The Gemara says, if that's the case, Pinchas Shelo Baratzon Chachamim, what? Pinchas wasn't a good thing? The Gemara says, Taki, you're right, it wasn't a good thing. And were it not for the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the seal of approval. Amar Yehuda ben Pazi, Bikesh Len Dotot, they want to give him Minidui. Chachamim weren't happy what Pinchas did. Ilma Neisha Kavtzah Ruach HaKodesh, when the fact Kadosh Baruch Hu basically gave the seal of approval. The Kadosh Baruch Hu said that Pinchas will basically become a Kohen as a result. Now, my time at the Rebbe Akiva. What's Hadouan said to the Rebbe Akiva? Now, if you remember, we said in our Mishnah, Rebbe Akiva is referring to, this is a machloket regarding a Zara that does avodah Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe Akiva says, Chenek. Chachamim say, Miti Beis Shemayim. So here, another gerusa change. We have to look at the Korbanot. It says, Nemar Kan Vazara Kerev Yumat. That's referring to a Zara not avodah Beis HaMikdash. So same lashon, yumat yumat, and navi gets chenek. So therefore, so too as zara does avodah gets chenek. So my turn, the rabbanan ne'emar kan vazara kerev yumat. What about rabbanan? This midah b'shamayim. Well, that's a zara doing avodah. And there, in that situation, that context, there is midah b'shamayim. So it says here. Fine. So and the Gemara now says, and then it says, Rebbe Kiva mutav yilmod yumat miyumat va'al yo yilmod yumat miyamot. Right. So Rebbe Kiva preferred to learn in a way that's much more, if you like, precise, in terms of lashon yumat yumat miyamot. Okay. Despite the fact he's learning kodesh v'chulin. Whereas Chachamim are learning Kodesh from Kodesh. Okay, let's continue. Sorry, I just thought we went a bit over time. We'll just start the Mishnah, but we're going to explain it very briefly, and we'll do it next year. Here we learn the beginning. Start learning Perek Achelik, which in the Yerushalmi is a 10th Perek and 11th Perek, like Bavli, which also matches the Mishnah. Mishnah also has this as a 10th Perek. So let's continue. Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelik Lolama. Everyone has a share in the world to come. Meaning entrance, if you like, and what he gets, it might be different to other people, but everyone is a chelek. However, the elush chelek haba, these people that lose it. Haomer ein mitara, someone who is kofir in the fact that there will be a resurrection of the dead. The ein Torah min shemaim, says Torah is not from heaven. This is kofir from that. Or the apikoros. Exactly what apikoros is, we will discuss. And people use it flippantly, but there's a definition. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afakor Besefer Chitzonim, even these outside books, what are these Chitzav Chitzonim? The Pnei Moshe says they are heretical books. Interesting, he says, Kogod Sifrei Aristo V'Chaverav. Aristo is Aristotle. Okay. V'Vidivrei Yamim Shalahem, they have no Ein Beim Toilet. Some will explain the reason we're talking about Sifrei Minim, because people Nimshach Chareihem, and you'll end up being a kofer. V'Divrei Cheshek V'Shir Agavim, these are inappropriate smut, let's call it that type of works. Shema kochma eli buddha's man, that's sort of waste your time. Okay. Now, then it says, Valochesh, Alochesh alamake, Vomer koma, Hashem, that's someone who's tries to heal someone by spitting on a wound and reciting a pasuk. The problem is, you're saying Shema Shem on spit, and it's a bizu de Kodesh Baruch Hu, no good. Abba Shul says, Afa will get to Shem Bat Yotav, also someone who says Shem Hashem, but as it's written. Not now we don't read it as it's written, we say Hashem or the Shem Adnu, we don't use Shem Hashem, And that would be another case. Now, this all obviously needs explanation, so that will be a message tomorrow's shift. All right, have a good Shabbos.